Welcome to episode 12 of the Yuri Brito podcast. I am your host, Yuri Brito, and I'm glad to join us for this episode. We're going to talk about Christmas today. I know we are a few weeks away from Christmas. Christmas, of course, is celebrated on the 25th of December. The church this year was celebrating the 22nd of December, which is Christmas Sunday. The questions that generally are raised this time of the year, especially from some who are a bit more self-aware of issues regarding the calendar, is, does Christmas have a pagan origin? I've heard that question raised many times. Is the proverbial myth of the pagan origin of Christmas. Now, why would someone make that a deal? Many people make that an issue of great concern because they want the Christian faith to be unvarnished, untainted by any kind of event that they would consider to be impure or unclean. If a Christian celebration is tainted by kind of worldly background or a pagan background, therefore, that particular event ought not to be taken over or repurposed by the Christian faith because it's tainted by sin. It's the, let's say, the blemished lamb. And we don't want anything that's blemished, anything that's stained, anything that's out of the ordinary. We want something that makes itself known through revelation or through visions, and therefore is incorporated into the life of the community at large. Let me break it to you. The Christian faith is rather messy. It is filled with blemish. It is filled with blood. It is filled with the fascinating stories of fallible men and women who embraced the story of the gospel and lived it out in the presence of the nations and sought to convince the world that the Christian message was a message worth embracing because it proclaimed a crucified and risen Lord. And when we hear these kind of purist arguments, the Christian tradition ought not to be celebrated because it has its origins in pagan mythology. The first thing I like to consider is, who is the source? Who's advocating this kind of teaching and instruction? And what I have often found over the years are the kinds of people who advocate this idea of Christmas as a pagan myth or originating a pagan myth, therefore we ought not to celebrate, are the kinds of people who generally have or live out a certain Christian life that I would not encourage any of my parishioners or friends to imitate. It's generally a kind of life that views celebration and festivity always through the negative lens. In other words, they're the kind of people that come to the party and begin to evangelize and indoctrinate everyone about the abuses of drinking too much, or smoking too much, of eating too much. They lead with the negative. They don't build up with the virtues of moderation, the virtues of feasting, the virtues of playing and enjoying life together. I think there is a psychological connection between people who are always trying to lead Christians away from classic celebrations of the church. I think these kinds of people are generally connected with certain persona that prohibits them from actually enjoying the Christian life as it ought to be lived. So that's the first psychological analysis that I make for this podcast. The second one is actually a more historical one. And that is that even though Christians adopt December 25th as the day of Christ's birth, and we can debate the origin of that date, there's another thing that may also be a myth, that Christmas originated through pagan mythology and it was co-opted and rebranded and repurposed as a Christian celebration of the birth of Jesus the Messiah. An article in the Christian Post by Daniel Latier, he quotes Professor William Tithe and says that the myth of the pagan origin of Christmas is just that, a myth. And he says that based on his extensive research, Tithe argues that the December 25th arose entirely from the efforts of the early Latin Christians to determine the historical date of Christ's death. And he also goes, the author says, so far as to claim that the December 25th pagan feast of the birth of the unconquered Son, that's S-U-N, was almost certainly an attempt to create a pagan alternative to a date that was already of some significance of Roman Christians. So that the explanation is that in the Jewish tradition, the time of Jesus, there was a belief in what they called the integral age. The prophets had died on the same days of their conception or birth. Early Christians spent much energy in determining the exact date of Christ's death, And using historical sources, Christians in the 1st or 2nd century settled on March 25th as the date of his crucifixion. So here's the logic. Add 9 months, the author says, the standard term of a pregnancy, to March 25th, and Christians come up with December 25th as the date of Christ's birth. This may or may not be accurate, and we don't know when Christians began to formally celebrate the 25th of December as a feast day. But what is known, perhaps, and the author goes on to say, is that the date, December 25th, had no religious significance in the Roman pagan festal calendar before Aurelian's time, nor did the cult of the sun play a prominent role in Rome before him. According to Tithe, Aurelian intended the new feast to be a symbol of the hoped for rebirth or perpetual rejuvenation of the Roman Empire, and if it co-opted the Christian celebration, so much the better. And the argument, of course, is here is that whether Christians co-opted the pagan celebration and made it their own, which in my estimation is perfectly valid, that's what Christians do, in case you're wondering. Christians take the spoils of the Egyptians and transform it into golden scepters. They take the spoils of the Egyptians and make it into a purposeful means to satisfy the kingdom of Christ. We offer it to Jesus, the true and living King. So Christians are in the business of taking back what rightly belongs to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, no doubt. So if perchance history proves that the Christian church co-opted or took over or rebranded a pagan myth, it doesn't affect the Christian faith at all, because that's what Christian faith is about. The Christian faith is about conquering paganism. Christian faith is about taking back what rightly belongs to them. It's about changing what once was dark and making it into light. But the point here of the article is actually the very opposite, is that the idea that Christians co-opted the pagan feast is actually a relatively new idea from probably 300-400 years ago. And what seems to be actually more accurate is that a pagan festival co-opted what was already known in the world of the day as a day that was treasured by Christians. And so the opposite argument is actually true. But again, for our purposes, it doesn't really matter. However, history ends up making the case, the Christian argues that he was born of a virgin, and that he rules the world with truth and grace, and he is there, spreading his glory far as the curse is found. Christmas is a season to explode in joy, to sing out the songs of Zion, to psalm unto the Lord a new song, to rejoice with brothers and sisters, to celebrate, and to find the consolation of Israel, Jesus Christ, to be not only the consolation of Israel, but our consolation, and ultimately, the consolation of the world. I know we're not in Christmas yet. We're actually preparing for Advent, which is the way we prepare for Christmas. Advent is practice for Christmas. In the meanwhile, many people have no idea what Advent is. They're going to jump right into Christmas, forsaking the proper chronology. And these conversations do arise, remind them. There's an actual real possibility that paganism co-opted what was already known as a Christian feast, a Christian celebration. A happy Advent season to you, a Merry Christmas, and this week, have a happy Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Until next time.